The Holy Gospel according to Matt or to John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus had said these words to the disciples, he looked to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all those whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. I have glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you had given me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given me is from you. For the words that you have given me, I gave to them, and they received them, and they know now, in truth, that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you sent me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been blessed through them." And now, "I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given to me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to invite the children to come on closer to the TV, I guess, or their monitors. Got a message for them as well. I got to pick up some stuff here that I brought along while they are getting situated. Put this stuff right here. So let's see what's going on here. Nope, I don't want to join video, but I do want to see other people here. There we go. There you are. Hey, guys, have you guys ever made, I'm looking at the wrong way. Have you guys ever made cookies with your parents, or maybe a grandparent, or over at a friend's house? I love making fresh made cookies, so they're so good, right? And I have up here some of the basic ingredients, like sugar and some butter and eggs and flour. And it's almost like a miracle once you put all these things together and mix them up well, and then put them in the oven and wait for about 8 to 13 minutes, depending on whatever kind of cookies you're making, and you pull them out, and they're so soft and gooey and yummy and delicious. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, you know what makes them so wonderful? It's all these ingredients, right? All these ingredients mixed together. But I wonder what it would be like to just take a spoonful of flour. Or maybe if I just ate an egg. Do you think I can just eat an egg? We can just break it, and I can gobble it all up. And do you think, well, wait a minute, if I took a bite of butter and then an egg and then flour and then some sugar and then just mixed it around in my mouth, and maybe it would, you think it would taste okay? I don't think it would, and I'm not willing to try. It's the fact that all these things come together and then we bake it makes it incredible. Jesus is telling the disciples here, hey, look, we have all the ingredients here. You are part of my family. God, me, and you. That we can be together. That we can be with one another. that makes it all special. We leave one of those ingredients out, we don't quite have what it takes. But if we have yourself as a beloved child of God, as long as we have God, as long as we have Jesus, as long as we have all of creation together, that's the miracle. That's the thing that keeps us going. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you are awesome and we love you. We thank you for sweet, awesome cookies. We thank you for the gift of your Son and the love that you give to us. Help us to show that love to others. Amen. All right, let me go ahead and put this stuff away real quick. I really was not going to eat any of that butter by itself, I promise. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this beautiful sunny day. Amen. You know, one of my earliest childhood memories are my parents being out in the garden, working, cultivating, planting, weeding, harvesting, the whole deal. And we would get to participate. I'm not sure how my siblings think about this, but from what I remember, we were never made to go out and help, but it was strongly suggested, maybe. But I do remember Dad's domain was mowing the grass, just as my mom's domain was domestic engineering. And Dad would always take such great care of the lawn. Maybe not when we were super young, because I remember some dandelions, but if you go by his place now, not a one in sight. He always would trim, blow the clippings off the driveway, mow, manicure, just beautiful. And I think I shared before that one of my early jobs was actually mowing our church cemetery's grass. And once again, a lot of that time, well, maybe not totally mandatory, but strongly suggested. You know, as I did that, as I began to mow, we had grandparents that needed their lawn mowed, and we would go over there and mow their grass. And it was me, my dad, and my brother, and we would mow grandma's lawn, and then we mow Aunt Ruth's lawn because they lived right next to each other. Aunt Ruth really wasn't our aunt, but she was my grandma's niece, which I guess that makes it mom's cousin, my second cousin, I guess, something like that. Anyway, that's why we called her Aunt Ruth. And we actually, at one point, we're mowing probably up to 6 different lawns. And as we did that, it became me, my dad, and my brother, and then me and my brother, and then eventually me and some friends that took that over. And during this time, I had this love-hate relationship with mowing. I mean, I loved the money I received from doing it, but I hated mowing on my days off. I mean, they were hard to find in high school and in college. And who loves hard work in the summer heat and sun? Just mowing. But yet I felt obligated, not really by choice. I'm sure I would have done something else, but rather I felt obligated because I was helping my dad and then my brother. And when I got older and probably more mature, I probably realized a sense of accomplishment. And it was a great way of getting money. But as I mowed my new lawn this past week, well, twice on the same day because it was so tall because of all the rain, I felt this great satisfaction. Seeing the double cut, it's the first time I did it diagonally. Oh my gosh, just to see that happen, no matter which side of the lawn you stood on, you could see the shades, different shades of green in the grass. It was the first time I also got the weed trimmer out and used that as well. It was beautiful and so nice. Now, as I reflect on this notion, the fact that I used to hate mowing, And now I love the opportunity to spend a few hours walking the lawn, manicuring it, and making it beautiful. I realize it's a transition. Something I didn't like to do, I hated it really, to something I felt obligated to do, and then turned into, after years of repetition, something I considered rewarding, and today feel joy in doing. It's something my dad gifted me, planted something within me, probably not, well, actually probably unintentionally, the art of mowing grass. It's now part of my nature. Mowing grass has been made known to me as an art. It is something to be appreciated. Missy will tell you as we walk our new neighborhood and I say, that guy takes pride in his lawn. That's the kind of lawn that I want to have eventually. Now, in our scripture today, Jesus is praying. And this one is one of the few times that we actually get access to what he is praying for. We hear many times in scripture that Jesus went away to rest or to pray. But only a few times do we get to hear the actual prayer. Matthew 11 is one example as he thanks God for revealing things to those as infants. And then in John 11, another example where he praises God before he raises Lazarus from the tomb. This time, Jesus is praying for himself. Father, glorify your Son so that he may glorify you, since you have given him all authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then he actually prays for us, for those he will actually be leaving, but also for us. I am asking on their behalf, not on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in this world, but they are in this world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. He's not praying just to those who are present, but those who are of this world, who have received him and believe in him, believe in his coming and him being sent from God. Jesus is always the answer to the question, how do we know God? Jesus is the gift freely given by God. Planted into each one of us through Christ, we have seen the way love acts. It's patient, kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Jesus prays that we will always be unified in God as Jesus is unified in God. And that is huge. These are the words, Holy Father, protect them in the name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. How can we be one with someone we don't know? But through Jesus Christ, we do know God. And because of the disciples and all those who have received and believed, we also know God, so that Jesus' prayer can be answered and is answered. And once we know God, once we have been introduced to that love, that love that created the world, we have eternal life. Jesus says it early in his prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son so that he may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. This is as plain as it gets in scripture, people. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life. N.T. Wright writes in one of his commentaries this: this eternal life, this life of the coming age, is not just something which people have after their death. It isn't simply that in some future state, the world will go on forever and ever, and we'll be part of it. The point is, rather, that the new sort of life has come to birth in the world in and through Jesus. Once he has completed the final victory over death itself, all his followers, all who trust in him and believe that he has truly come from the Father and has truly unveiled the Father's character and purpose, all of them can and will possess eternal life right here and now. That too has been one of the great themes of John's gospel. In addition, the end of our scripture today, we are invited to join in, right? Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, that they may be one, so as we are one. There's a time I remember mowing Aunt Ruth's lawn. And her lawn was always the more difficult because it was small and it had a lot of different figurines and things that are in the backyard. And the most dangerous thing that was in her backyard were two dogs, Boomer and Jiggers. Well, they weren't all that dangerous, but what they left behind was. So we needed to find, well, we would take care of that before we mowed. Dad made sure of that. We take care of that before we started mowing. But it was always, it took a little bit extra to do Aunt Ruth's lawn. So there, I remember this one day we were in a big hurry. And this was after when me and my friends were mowing the grass. And Ruth would ask us every once in a while to do something extra, just normal chores around the house that she wasn't able to do anymore. And there was a hose in her garage that needed to be brought up to the house. And she asked me to do that. And I was in a hurry, but we'll get this done for you, Aunt Ruth. It'll be fine. Her garage was always something messy. And let's just leave it at that. So went out to the garage, got the hose, brought it back in. And she goes, here's an extra $5 for getting that hose. I said, Ruth, stop it. I'm not going to take any more money because it's just, it didn't take any time whatsoever. And I remember saying, I just don't know what I've done for you all to treat me so well. And I looked at Ruth and believe me, I was in a hurry. I don't know where these words came from, but I said, Ruth, because we love you. And she stopped and she just looked at me. She was this beautiful woman. She was, when I knew her, in her 70s and 80s, but she just had this beautiful soul about her. And you could just tell I made her day. I wasn't thinking about making her day. I was thinking about getting to the next lawn so we could get done and go out with our friends. But I do know by the time I got home, she had called my mom and said that what I had told her was just what she needed to hear. We are united in Christ in those type of times. Yes, she was related, but these are times that we have to go beyond our normal in welcoming people with the love of Jesus Christ. In our hymn of the day, it's one of my favorites. You Are Mine. Stanza 3 or verse 3 reads, I am strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones whom dwell in shame. all the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. That is eternal life. When we introduce people to our God, not by shoving our theology down their throat, but by showing them that we love them, no matter what they are doing. As we can find commonality and unify with the other, they know Jesus Christ. They know God. When you feel safe to go back out in public, keeping social distance, of course, remember that Jesus has prayed for you, for God to protect you. Now, this isn't to give you a cloak of invincibility, but this is to let you know that no matter who you run into, no matter what their attitude is about what's going on, this is the one thing that we all are unified in. And we're handling it in different ways. But the important thing is to show them the love of Christ so they will know what eternal life feels like. The coronavirus is part of our future. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody planned for it. Our lives are going to be different. Yet God's love will never change. Jesus' prayer is still actively proclaiming unity among the differing opinions. God has planted love into each and every one of us. And we only need to remember that we belong to God. And so does everybody else. Amen.